Good morning and welcome to worship. It's great to be together on this holiday weekend. And if you're visiting with us, we extend a very special welcome to you. I call your attention to the announcements. Be sure and look at the youth news. Also, our mission of the month is the Ronald McDonald House. We'll be collecting can tabs, and there are places to deposit them in the Sunday school rooms and around the church. This helps support that group. Lou Teeter is the coordinator, and they sell these and raise money to help assist the Ronald McDonald House, who helps families of patients having cancer and in the NICU, things like that, the intensive care nursery. It's a wonderful program, and this is our way of being in outreach to the community and helping others. So save your can tops and bring them into the church, and let's support Ronald McDonald House. A lot of great things going on in the life of the church. Let's take a moment and greet and welcome one another.
Please, for the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag and then to the Christian flag, and the pledges are at the bottom of the middle page of your bulletin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the Christian flag and to the Savior whose kingdom it stands. One Savior, crucified, risen, and coming again with life and liberty to all who believe.
You may be seated.
Will you join us in the call to worship? For freedom, Christ has set us free.
Stand fast and do not submit.
Let us walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh. Amen.
Oh,
As we go to God in prayer, I call your attention to the prayer concerns printed in your bulletin. And this morning we add David Sullenberger to our thoughts and to our prayers. As we remember the birth of our nation and the gifts of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, let us offer thanks and prayers to God, who is the giver of all good gifts. The psalmist said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Let us pray. Gracious God, for this new day and all its blessings, we praise you. As we commemorate our national independence, we thank you for the vision that created our country. As we commemorate our national independence, accept again the declaration of our everlasting dependence upon you. In all our joy and thanksgiving, enable us to remain a nation under God, that we might always be a nation under God where all are free to worship and pray, that we might always be a nation under God which defends and promotes liberty and freedom, truth and justice, that we might be a beacon of freedom to all those who live under the shadow of terror and hopelessness. Teach us, O God, that liberty is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. And help us see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to do what is right. Using our freedom in ways that help and heal rather than hurt and destroy. As we deny all prejudice a place in our hearts, may we also clearly declare our intention to work for the time when all people will be granted equal dignity and worth. On this Independence Day weekend, we are reminded of all those who have sacrificed for our freedom, following the example of your Son, Jesus Christ. Let us not take our freedom, both physical and spiritual, for granted. And may we always remember that our freedom was purchased with an extremely high price. It cost others their very lives. And Lord, today bless those who have served and continue to give their lives for our freedom and watch over their families. As we come to the table today, help us to remember the greatness of any nation is not measured by its gross national product or its military strength, but by the way its people embrace your truths and love the things you love. Help us to live our lives in a way that glorifies you. Give us the strength to be a blessing in someone else's life today, and grant us the opportunity to lead others into the freedom that can be found in knowing your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever." Every Communion Sunday, there is a podium placed in the center aisle, and there's a collection plate on it. And there's a little write-up in your bulletin, and perhaps over time we fail to see it, pay any attention to it, but I want to remind you that we're not paying for communion. What we're doing is making a contribution to our community fund, which helps us minister to those in need. It goes for things like food and rent and gasoline to those truly in need. It enables us to take care of others. Let us pray. Generous God, fill our hearts with compassion for all those who suffer, that we may do our best to help those in need so that no one would be hungry or homeless. Bless the gift and the giver in Christ's name. Amen.
Just a word of explanation. During this song, Salute to the Armed Forces, if you served in a branch of the military, when that particular song is sung, we invite you to stand. The Coast Guard hymn was left out of this particular arrangement. So when the Navy hymn is sung, if the Navy and Coast Guard would please stand.
Thank you.
Let's take a moment and thank our veterans and members of the armed forces. We appreciate all you did for us. Thank you very much.
Our hymn of meditation, hymn 389, Freely, Freely.
Well, happy 4th of July weekend. I want to start off by thanking everyone here for the great and very generous last Sunday that you gave Jana and me. We very much appreciate all your prayers and advice and gifts. And just to let you know how married I am, I now have a Kroger's card. So there you go. Our scripture reading this morning comes to us from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. I invite you to have these words fall upon your hearts and minds in a fresh and new way. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us bow for a brief moment of prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Your children are listening. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask. Amen. One of the greatest experiences of my life was living in D.C. while going to seminary. And a couple of times I got to go see the great and wonderful 4th of July fireworks on the Mall. It was an incredible experience, and when you're there, you are feeling very patriotic, of course. And so my friends and I would go down to the Mall, and we'd get there in the early evening, and we'd try to get a seat near the Capitol so that when you saw the fireworks blast into the sky, you saw them exploding near and around the top of the Washington Monument. It was marvelous. And if you ever have the opportunity to be a part of that, go and do that. That was a great adventure. But you know, there was another great adventure that happened just right after those fireworks. And that adventure was getting home. You see, there are hundreds of thousands of people that pour in onto this 2-mile stretch of land. Okay? Now, many of them came at different periods of time during that day, but after the fireworks, everyone wants to leave at that moment, right? So you have hundreds of thousands of people spreading out in all directions. Some of those unfortunate folks who decided to drive into the city found that they were probably delayed 3 or 4 hours getting home. If you've ever been around DC traffic or the 495 Beltway, you know about traffic. Some folks walked from their houses or apartments and decided to do that. I, on the other hand, decided to just take the Metro. That's DC's subway. And so I had this grand idea that at the end of the fireworks, I was going to speed walk to the Metro line. And the Metro line is divided by color, and I take the red line to get to where I need to go. So if I'm going to get to my Metro stop, I want to keep walking so that more people will not follow me but go to the nearest Metro stop. My plan is to go as far as I can so that I can interact with less people. Well, as I'm walking, those people walking with me. And we keep walking together. And I finally just give up and decide to go into the Metro, and I'm waiting there. And of course, the Metro line comes, and there's a whole host of people in it. And if you've spent any time in DC, you learn sometimes you just have to breathe in and go for it. So I squeeze in, and then 2 hours later, I get home. All this to say that the freedoms we get, many people do the same thing, many people do the different thing. But a lot of times we don't realize that those are freedoms, right? There are different countries and nations that you can't walk safely like that. You know, this weekend we've celebrated the birth of our nation. But we also, as Christians, need to find the time to celebrate being under the reign of Christ. Having the Lordship, having Him free us of chains. When we called upon God, when we asked for forgiveness, asked Him to love us back, not only did Christ rip off those chains that were bearing us down, but He also took us in to a deep hug. You know, Paul gets it right when he talks about we need to have the mind of Christ. Because there's one chain that can take us over if we're not careful. And that chain is the one that takes control of our mind. It's the one where it repeatedly tells us it's actually a crown that gives us power, that we alone can do things, that our ego and arrogance and pride can tell us that we have the right know-how. We know how to do things the right way. But what Paul tells us is that we never have the right way, only Christ has the right way. Do you hear that? We never have the right way, only Christ has the right way. Say that with me. We never have the right way, only Christ has the right way. Having the same mind as Christ. Think about that for a second. The right judgment, the right love, the right forgiveness, the right compassion and mercy. And I think a lot of us, when we sit in the pews, and I've done this too, when we hear the preacher say, we got to be like Christ, got to have the same mind and heart. And either in the pews right then or when we leave the church, we go, yeah, right. It's never going to happen. It's pie in the sky. I've been guilty of that myself. We think we're too low, too dirty, too sinful. We'll never get there. We keep getting stuck in a rut of our own patterns. But the truth of the gospel and the whole biblical story is that God has been able to do that since the beginning of time. He's done it in each and every one of you. Can you honestly say that you've never been changed because of your life with loving Christ, receiving that forgiveness? No. We have been changed. Paul talks about in the letter to the Philippians, the key with our mind being like Christ, and that's humility. Something I think we all struggle with. Your preachers struggle with it. It's hard to be in front of people and speak to them and not feel a sense of ego. So every time I get up here to preach, I say the same prayer. And that to me is a sign of submission. God, it's not about me. It's about your Holy Spirit speaking. We have to have humility. We have to know that without Christ, we can't do the wonderful things Christ wants us to do. At annual conference, we kept hearing the same pattern in the preaching and the teaching. Jesus did amazing things, and we read about them, and we've heard them preached. But, you know, in the scriptures and the gospels, Jesus actually calls us to go and do more than Christ did. Can you believe that? That's even harder to believe, that we can be changed, that we can do more than Christ. But that's what Christ said we could do. And I think the key is, if we listen to Paul, is practicing that humility. Putting ourselves last. Putting our neighbors first. Giving love and forgiveness and compassion first. And then asking questions. There's a story in the fall of 2010 of an army entryman that comes back from tours in Iraq and Afghanistan. And he's actually from Beebe, Arkansas. He comes back home, and his family right away can tell that there's a big difference in his personality. He gets angry easier. He has these cold and dead eyes almost. His wife talks about how he used to be a fun and happy and jovial guy. And now he just seems broken. War, no doubt, will do that to a person. And you see horrific things. Things I'm thankful that I've never gotten to really witness. And I'm thankful that there are those that can go and do that for us. But this young man who's 30, serving various tours in the Middle East, in 2008, there was a car bomb that went off in a marketplace. And he saw this young girl who was about the same age as his oldest daughter, 10 or 12. And this girl was severely, severely injured and maimed, but she was not dead. This haunted him. This gave him nightmares, uneasiness, stress. This man struggled with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. And there are many of our men and women who are serving overseas who have these cases. The young man felt like he wasn't right either. And so with him and his family, he went to go get tested for all that was going on. At the beginning of the testing, he got word from his command that they wanted him to go back for another tour of duty. A man that wasn't ready, a man that was still recovering from mental wounds. Because if you can't defend against those that are shooting at you, how can you also defend your comrades with not being alert? And the man decided to go AWOL and later turned himself in. My brothers and sisters, I share this story because lots of times we have this beautiful image of America that we put up. We have wonderful ideas, wonderful freedoms, and there have been wonderful moments in our history. But this one right here, with how we treat our veterans, I'm sure all of you are aware of the stories a couple months ago about hospitals and rehab centers for veterans that have these extremely long waits and cleanliness is not there and all these problems. And it's just, in a country like this, how could we not put every effort into making it excellent care? That's one side. We don't do enough for our veterans, but we also don't do enough for mental illness either. I'm so sick and tired of people who are sick, who are rich or poor, black, white, yellow, brown, old or young, who cannot have access to that kind of treatment because of the cost. I'm tired of it. We are a country, but we are Christians. And in the name of the great physician, we are called, are we not, to go and heal our brothers and sisters who are suffering internally? I believe in my heart of hearts that if somehow there was access, easy access, to getting evaluated with mental illness, that these shootings we see in theaters, malls, and the tragedy that has been turned into a political story with the elementary school. It's horrific. Only in this country could a story like that be made into political game? This is our children. This is about justice. When we have the mind of the Christ, we also stand for justice. Do we not? What do? We can either help or not help. We can either stand up for those that need help and are in a bad place or ignore them. It's up to us. Like I said, the U.S. of A. has done wonderful things around this globe, sending medical care to countless countries, helping freedoms be established in different parts of our world. But we have to improve, right? We have to keep making ourselves better. We have to keep changing. The grace of God has to keep working within us to make us better. That's what the biblical story is about. The whole narrative of the Bible is that God can change us. So what will we do? Will we learn from our fellow brothers and sisters who've served in wars that it takes blood, sweat, and sacrifice to do things? Or will we put our head in the sand? I think Christ calls us to go out into the world and serve with humility. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now, we go into our very special and holy time of communion. What better way to honor the freedom Christ gives us to both repent of what we've done and repent of what we have not done? Brother David.
I invite you to turn to page 12 of your hymnal. And I remind you that this table is open to all. It's not the United Methodist table. It's not Asbury's. It's the Lord's table. And it's open and accessible to all. If you desire gluten-free, please let your server know. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. Deliver us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, our Lord gathered an upper room, and he took bread. He gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, for this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat of it in remembrance of me. After the supper had been shared, our Lord took a common cup, again giving thanks to God, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon all of us here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at God's heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours now, Almighty God. Amen. To assist would come forward. The body of Christ.
hymn of commitment is hymn 717, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I would like to try something a little bit different this morning. In between the third and fourth verses, we will not sing the refrain. So we'll sing verse 3 and then straight into verse 4 and then the refrain. We'll see if we can make that work this morning.
Jerk. Everyone likes a humble, kind person. So let's go be humble and kind people in Christ's name, in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.